Yo, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. And I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody in here. We're ready to chop up great game as we always do. On time this week, baby. We're on time. And we're waiting on everybody to pile on in the room. Everybody come on in the room. Everybody retweet this, repost this. Let everybody know that we're live. Put this on your social media because we're going to chop it up today. And while we're waiting on everybody to come in, we're going to take one of those real quick, short commercial breaks, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to be right back after these messages. And today's topic is Jada Pinkett the bad guy. Let's chime in on it. We'll be right back after these messages.
Listen up, Squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin, by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Listen, when disaster strikes, will you be ready? With Black Star Survival, you can be ready. Their online store, blackstarsurvival.com, offers a wide range of disaster preparedness and tactical gear to help you face any emergency, from survival kits and first aid kits to emergency food and water, body armor, anything you need, ammunition, firearms. They have everything you need to stay safe. And now for a limited time only, use the coupon code FLEX10 when you check out and save 10% on your entire order. So don't wait until it's too late. Visit blackstarsurvival.com right now and take the first steps towards peace of mind.
Dave Ski here, captain of the Skyber at Skyber. Group economics right on your phone. After soaking up game from Flex, please check out the wealth management Tudor Bismarck preach from the CBC. After watching that, you'll get it 100% of what we're doing. Search Skyber Service, Google Play, App Store, Skyber. Learn how to trick out the app to get indie music publishing. Discounts for your own ads. Forex indicators. Skyber's for us, by us.
You know what I'm saying? So it's time to come up, baby.
Skyber. Word up. Players, get your hustle on.
Oh, yeah. Skyber.org.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they think it, you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, I'm back. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? I am your host, Tariq Nasheed. I'm back. Glad to have y'all tuning back in. Hope you guys are having a productive week so far, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everything is going smooth. Ladies and gentlemen, as we chop up game this week. And by the way, don't forget to get your root work deodorant at rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. Rootworkstyle.com. We got some more flavors, and I'm saying flavors, but more scents for the Rootwork deodorant coming this week. Well, next week, probably. Not even next week, probably next month. I'm dating this shit too soon. But yeah, we got some more root work coming in, some different scents coming in. So the holiday season is going to be popping with the root work, especially right now for Hoodoo Heritage Month. This is Hoodoo Heritage Month. So you got to get your root work for Hoodoo Heritage Month, ladies and gentlemen. And shout out to everybody who already got their root work. So it's a lot of stuff that we got to cover. We're going to talk about Jada in a minute. We got to hit some other stuff before we talk about Jada. We got to talk about some other things going on in the media. One thing that's going on in the media, as we know, it is election season. Biden's numbers are pretty bad right now. They're very desperate to see what they can do to get some momentum behind Biden. Biden's numbers are looking very bad because the Democrats in the Biden administration, they haven't done anything for the black community. Not only have they not done anything for the black community, their numbers are very low and their popularity within black society is very low because they've been just insulting black society. And they've been insulting us in so many different ways, sending money to all of these different groups when black people, their voter base, is still under their benign neglect program. All of their symbolic gestures and tactics, those are no longer working. We're not feeling that. And now they're doing this symbolic stuff with the whole, we're going to parade black folks around. And now they're going to try to do the Bill Clinton thing. Remember back in the 90s when they were talking about Bill Clinton is the first black president? Remember that whole thing? They made Bill Clinton look cool by having him on Arsenio Hall. They had Bill Clinton playing the saxophone, kind of making him cool and hip. And then we got another fake black president, Obama, who's not foundational black American and don't identify with us. He was just the Negro whisperer. He would get out here and explain why he couldn't do anything for black people. So that was the second black president. So now this is what they're doing now. This is the desperation, family. Joe Biden is the third black president. All right. So they got him next to the mammy. The Hill opinion. You know what? I haven't even read this article. I haven't even clicked the link for the article. Just the optics of it and the desperation of it. This is desperation, ladies and gentlemen. Should we click the article? I haven't even seen the article, but let's go. Okay. Biden's campaign is worried about getting black voters. They put $25 million into radio programming, and they're trying to pump enthusiasm among black and Latino voters with the message, Joe and Kamala, they're getting it done for us. No, they're not. So, okay. So now here they go with the whole fake, here is what Biden has done for us. It's a whole list of nothing burgers. Here I am. Let me get on camera for this. What's up, family? Let me get on camera. Shout out to somebody sent me this FBA shirt. I didn't make this shirt. Somebody sent this to me. Beautiful shirt. I love this shirt. Shout out to the person. If you're in the room who sent this, this is fly. I wear a lot of gear that people send me. But this whole thing where they're trying to show that the Biden administration, they're just a friend to black society. All of these things they've done for black society, where they do the whole lying, they start listing a whole bunch of lift all programs and see, this affects black people disproportionately too. We're not going for that. We're becoming a little more politically sophisticated. All right? We're becoming more politically sophisticated and we're just not going for the okey-doke no more. And this whole thing where they are going to deny us things and neglect us, but then make us obligated to vote and support the Democrats and every other person. Notice there's this whole vibe where we are shamed into supporting everybody. Look at what's going on over in Israel right now. There's war going on over there in Israel. Israel and the Palestinians are turning up. We as Foundation of Black Americans, we're sitting over here chilling. We're sitting over here using our root work deodorant. We're sitting over here just doing soaking our beans. We're sitting over here just living our lives, just trying to figure out what we need to figure out. We're just doing what we do. Then all of a sudden, we get an anti-black alert. Hey, black Americans, how come y'all ain't over here supporting Israel and supporting the Palestinians? How come y'all ain't doing nothing? And we're looking at each other like, what? All of a sudden, we're just getting attacked for not supporting some of these other groups and some of these wars that's going on that we have nothing to do with. Same thing with Ukraine. They were trying to shame us into supporting the Ukrainians and sending our money over there. Yeah, you black Americans, you see these people are suffering. How come y'all ain't helping? Y'all got immigrants over there stuck in the Ukraine calling for us. Hey, FBA niggas, I can't get home. I need help. They got me stuck over here. I'm stuck. I need to go home. FBA, where is Oprah Winfrey? Where is Keith Sweat? We need some FBA niggas to help. Everybody's calling on us for something. So now over there with the thing going on in the Middle East and over there in Israel, they're looking at us, shaming us. Like we're supposed to be, we're not doing something. So they're sending their bootlicks and their Sambos out to shame us even more. Did you see Amari Sambo-Meyer? That's what they're calling him. Former NBA player. They sent this Sambo out here to start trying to shame us. Not only did he shame, he started cursing us out about what we're not doing. And we're looking at him like, nigga, what? So Amare Stoudemire, he made a video dissing us under the guise of criticizing Black Lives Matter. That means us, all right? Trying to use these code words. So look at this Sambo cursing us out because we ain't doing something. Hold on.
Serving news out of Israel that Hamas kidnapping children, putting them in cages, killing women, killing the elderly. That's some coward shit. That's cowardly. And for all y'all, Black Lives Matter, who ain't saying nothing, well, let me figure out exactly what happened before I say anything. Fuck you.
Whoa. What?
It ain't never been cool to kidnap kids and put them in cages. It ain't never been cool to kill women and elderly. Never been. No matter where you from, what you represent, what tribe you it don't matter.
Got it. Okay,
ain't
okay.
Never been no cool. They ain't never been nothing that nobody supported.
Okay, all right.
And then you go and hide and put the kids in front of you as a barricade. That's some coward shit.
All right.
All you politicians who always have something to say on the contrary, I see you. Fuck you. All you Black Lives Matter people who always had something to say and always supported everything else and you quiet now, fuck you too. Only place in the world where I can go and study Torah and eat kosher food. Only place in the world. Some coward shit, dog.
Okay. So yeah, we got a good cursing out for this from this Sambo. This dude, just all that Black Lives Matter, that's their little code word for just Black Americans, all right? When they say Black Lives Matter, that means Black Americans, okay? So we're getting cursed out by this Sambo, all right? Hold on. We're getting cursed out by this buffoon. And we can see why this guy is out here trying to get butter biscuits. This is an article from a couple of years ago. Amari Stoudemire says he's looking for a Jewish wife slash white. He's looking for a white Jewish woman. That's what he's looking for. That's where the butter biscuits are coming from. He wants a white Jewish woman for a wife. That's where all of this performative Samboism is coming from. All right. Boy, we got some stomped down Sambos out here. We're not obligated to put the cape on and start jumping up for people. What's going on over there? And we don't know everything. Hey, but we got issues over here we're trying to figure out. We're not supposed to, We're not going to be shamed into putting on the cape for everybody. Nobody's doing that for us. Nobody's helping us. Nobody's putting on the cape for us. We're not really taking either side. That's just something we're not in. No, we have nothing to do with what's going on over there. You understand? But yeah, nobody's going to shame us, because notice nobody can say what all of these other people have done for us that makes us owe them. It's just, well, they're being treated bad and y'all be getting treated bad, so y'all need to say something. But when we're treated bad, none of these, they're not helping us. In fact, when we start talking about we need compensation or compensatory justice, some of these people, they're trying to shame us into helping. They're against reparations. These people have spoken out publicly against our reparations. We don't owe them nothing. In fact, listen, family. In fact, these police agencies, you want to know where they learn how to use urban warfare tactics against us? These police agencies, you know, they train on how to subjugate people in urban areas and urban uprisings, meaning us. That means us. They train on how to handle urban unrest in America. You know who trains them? Israeli military forces. I'm just speaking facts. Many of them agencies, they go to Israel to train. You feel me? Some of these same people who are getting reparations themselves are speaking against us getting reparations. That bulletproof warrior program, the Israeli military forces are into training them. Those are some of the Israelis who train those guys in the that bulletproof warrior stuff, where Officer Yanez was in that training program when he killed our brother, Philando Castile, up there in Minnesota. That bulletproof warrior thing, where these basically a bunch of white supremacists and law enforcement, they learn how to kill black people with impunity and word things a certain way and use certain laws to get away with it. The Israelis were and clicked in with that. Come on, let's just talk real. We're just talking history and facts right now. And then we're supposed to put the cape on for everybody? No. Let's just talk real. I'm just talking facts right now. We're supposed to put the capes on? You're going to shame us into putting on the capes? No. No, we're just trying to figure it out. I'm over here dealing with the bulletproof warriors and the training that they have. We're caught up with dealing with them right now. Yeah? So yeah, we have issues over here that we have to deal with that other people have helped put in motion. We're not obligated to put the cape on for nobody, because nobody's putting the cape on for us. Nobody's saying what's going on with war is cool. Nobody's saying anything, but hell, we have issues over here that we got warfare happening right now on a daily basis, economic warfare, physical warfare. We're dealing with warfare now that these people have been trained to engage us in. You dig? So yeah, we're not going to be shamed. And black people, stop letting people try to shame you into supporting everything and putting the cape on for everybody when nobody's caping for us. In fact, people are speaking against us getting compensatory justice. And that is a problem. All right? Other things that's going on, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of problems, do y'all know out here in California, they have something called a response to the Amber Alert. They're saying that a lot of black people, when they go missing, they're not being sought after or whatever. So they created something, and I'm real skeptical of this. They got something called the Ebony Alert. California's newly enacted Ebony Alert law It's the first of its kind in the nation to prioritize the search of black youth gone missing. I don't know about this. Now, the white supremacists, they're already crying foul. Oh, my God, this is so racist. You're prioritizing another racial group. Oh, God, this fake outrage. This is kind of a trick bag to me. Because my thing is, if a black child is missing, and it's real interesting, they're saying missing people between 12 and 25. That's interesting right there. Hold on. Right. It's missing black people between the ages of 12 and 25 right here. The law that goes into effect January 1st. Hold on. What did I do? What did I just do? What did I just do? Okay. The law that goes into effect January 1st will allow the California Highway Patrol to activate the alert when a black youth goes missing in the area. It will use electronic highway signs to encourage radio, TV, social media, and other systems to spread information about the missing persons. It's used for black people age 12 to 25. Red flag. That's a red flag. That's a red flag right there. That's a red flag. What? That's a red flag. 12 to 25? Hold on. Because the person who would really need to be prioritized is a person under 12. Something ain't right with that. Because listen, why wouldn't it just be a regular Amber Alert? Why, if a black kid is missing, you have Amber Alerts, just do an Amber Alert. For a kid who's black, who's missing. Any kid who's missing, do a regular Amber Alert. This whole 12 to 25, that's when black kids hit puberty. Remember, that age, they be charging 12 and 13-year-old black kids as adults. You see? 12 and 25, that right there, that's the danger age in white supremacist society. They look at black kids as a sexual threat. Right when puberty starts, right at that age, that's that right in between that. That's that sex trafficking age right there. That don't make sense. Dude, that sounds like if a black kid is missing, hey, we got some organs out here that we might need. That's the age of people when you're the most healthy. You done hit puberty, 12 to 25. That's sending like a dog whistle. Hey, new organs alert. Hey, we got fresh organs on the loose, and if they end up dead somewhere, you know what to do. You know what to do with them organs. That sounds like an organ alert right there, man. That's weird as hell. That's an organ alert. Boy, that's a weird-ass age demographic to say, hey, we're going to prioritize looking for them. Yeah, you looking for them, all right. Yeah, there'll be a scramble for them damn organs. Yeah, you just doing it. If you're looking for black kids, do a regular Amber Alert like we already have. A regular Amber Alert is perfectly fine. Why not prioritize them in an Amber Alert that we already have? So let's watch out for that. All right? Because now that'll give them kind of cover. Hey, there's a black kid who was found dead and his organs were missing. He was a black teenager. We were looking for him. Oh my God, we couldn't find him. Oh God, we were looking. We had an ebony alert and we just couldn't find him. And when we found him, he had no organs. So we did our best. So it sounds like they're just trying to cover their tracks for all of these missing black people out here. They got to seem like they're trying to do something. Because out there in Ohio, man, it was like just in one small area, just dozens of black kids end up missing. Yeah? So we got to watch our backs out here. This is why we need a reparations program so that we can have a policing system within our own community. We can kind of police what goes on, and we need the resources for that. Yeah, that's why I say black people, don't leave. Don't let your kids out. For the life of me, I don't know why in this day and age, black people be letting their kids walk around. When I'm out and I see a black kid
especially like around 12, 13, of just walking around by themselves. No, why? That's unfathomable to me. God, y'all just don't understand how unfathomable that is to me. Boy, I don't let my children out of my sight. My oldest daughter, who's grown now, boy, I didn't let her out of my sight till she was like 17, 18. I didn't let my child out of my damn sight. Yeah, no, my kid couldn't walk nowhere by herself. She couldn't go nowhere by her damn self. I wouldn't. I just don't get it. This ain't like back in the day. And back in the day, we had communities that were more tight-knit. Back in the day, everybody kind of looked out for each other. So we can go outside and we had buddies, we had friends, everybody wasn't on the internet. So yeah, we all looked out for each other. Everybody knew each other's mama. I knew, you know, my mama knew my homeboy's mama. We all knew each other. Everybody's parents knew each other. So everybody knew each other. So we can go out and kick it. So, and we knew that, hey, be home before the streetlight came on. But now, in the last, 30 years? No. Much different, man. No. Oh, yeah, that sleepover shit, too. No, we don't do that either. No. Unless it's family. Yeah? Yeah, we FBAs looked out for each other back then. This was before, let's be real. This was before we were flooded with a lot of people who are non-FBA. The problem, let's be real, there was a bunch of people coming in to our communities who are not FBA. We don't know who they are. Then we start seeing weird shit happen. Nobody knows the parents of these people. Nobody knows their mama. Just weird little niggas start showing up doing weird stuff. And don't nobody know them. Yeah? So, yeah, a lot of that stuff had to stop. Yeah? But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. I digress. But let's get into what we're talking about, because I'm going to talk about some other stuff later. And by the way, everybody hit the Kickstarter for the film. Microphone Check, the new documentary we're working on called Microphone Check. You can either go to microphonecheck.com or to the Kickstarter page. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So Jada Pinkett Smith, ladies and gentlemen, Jada Pinkett, she has a new book out. And Jada and Will, they've been going through what they're going through publicly. You know, they had, what was that word she said? Entanglements. Yeah, she had some entanglements. And, you know, Jada had the side nigga thing going on and people were like, hey, what's going on with their marriage? What's going on with their relationship? What the hell is going on with Will and Jada? What in the world is going on? And then, you know, the Oscar awards, they're there together and Will is getting up slapping Chris Rock and it's just all over the place with Will and Jada. It's all over the place. So Jada has a book out. People have been very critical of Jada. They're making Jada out to be the bad guy. Now, is Jada the bad guy? Now, Jada and Will has done interviews talking about how when Jada is bigging up Tupac all the time, yeah, that hurts his feelings. You know, that kind of chips away at him. And Jada keeps doing it. She puts up little, people think, are passive-aggressive videos of her and Tupac from back in the day. And people are like, oh, she's a cold-blooded woman. Yeah? So a lot of people are like, is Jada the bad guy? Now, I don't know. I'm trying to play the devil's advocate here. Is Jada the bad guy? Is Jada the bad guy here? People are saying she's horrible. She's horrible for Will. She's embarrassing him all the time. And now she has a book out and she says, and this is shocking news to a lot of people, that they've actually been separated since 2016. Now, here is Jada on the Today Show talking about her book. This is Jada. Let's have her say things in her own words. Hold on.
Until now. There are so many surprising things in the book, but the thing that surprised me the most, that I actually had to reread it, right, because I said, is this true?
Right.
was that in 2016, you and Will decided that you were going to live completely separate lives. Yes. It was not a divorce on paper,
right,
but it was a divorce. So from the year 2016, which is 7 years ago now,
yes,
y'all wow. have been apart.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
But in public, the couple who married in 1997 denied the gossip about their marriage.
Oh.
This interview on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen was taped a year after Will and Jada separated.
Oh.
How long have you guys been together?
23 years.
Wow. Oh.
How do you keep it hot?
How do I keep it hot?
A side nigga.
You know, maybe I don't know. I mean, I'm baffled, really.
Yeah, right.
Over the next several years, Jada and Will kept up the appearance of a committed married couple. They even faced a scandal when Jada had what she called an entanglement with a family friend. Neither let the public know they had already split. So I guess my question
is,
I feel like you're a straight talker.
I am.
Except you're not sometimes.
Yeah.
So why do that? Like, what was the reason?
Oh.
I think just not being ready yet.
Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. All right. So Jada's like, yes, you know, we've been separated for all these years, and we're just putting on appearances. Now, this is a spin. This is a spin. They have to spin so they can kind of save the brand. Listen, I don't think Jada's necessarily the bad guy. Listen, let me back Jada up a little bit. And I'm not simping. I don't have my simp boots on. But listen. This is my conjecture. The situation now, Will and Jada is a brand. Will and Jada is a brand. So them being together, you know, they're selling the, hey, we're the happy black Hollywood couple, superpower couple package. That's a package within itself. It has been rumored behind the scenes for years. And if you're in LA, you've heard rumors, and I'm not the rumor type, but people have heard about the swinging lifestyle and the open relationship lifestyle. You've been hearing about that. No, listen. And I've said this before. Listen. So sounds like there's an arranged situation there where Jada gets to live the good life, the good cushy life. There might be a stench of Bucci Cat somewhere. There might be some bussy juice flowing somewhere, and I like Will, and I'm not saying anything definitively, all right? I'm saying there might be a couple of bussy stains somewhere, possibly, allegedly, not saying anything. Jada knows, and Jada's just going to be the front person. She's going to turn a blind eye, but hey, we're going to be in this relationship just to keep the brand going. If you got a little hankering, I'ma stay here for the kids and for the brand, but if you got a hankering, I'll turn a blind eye. I'm getting papered up. I get a little side nigga here or there, get a little side broad here or there, allegedly, conjecture. I'm not saying anything definitively. You understand? Sounds like a deal has been made. That's why y'all keep forgetting when she was having the entanglements with the old boy. Remember, the dude, he said, hey, you know, I got Will's blessing. He said, hey, man, you know, it's kind of an arranged situation. You know, they're together, but they ain't together. Old boy said that. Yeah, he said, hey, they're together, but they ain't together. So he gave me the blessing. So, you know, Will knows that she's getting piped down. You dig? Will knows. Will is cool with it. But now they have to kind of clean it up now. they have to clean it up by saying, okay, well, they were actually separated. No, let's keep it real. So Jada is like, damn, you know, yeah, I'm getting papered up and I get the cushy life, but damn, you know, shit, I got to keep up the facade while, you know, this dude is possibly behind the scenes, you know, throwing bussy cat all over the place, possibly, allegedly. I don't know. I'm not saying anything definitively. Yeah. But it sounds like an arranged deal. But even in an arranged deal, some people can kind of get restless. So this is why Will has to jump bad when at the award show, Will has to put it on the line of Jada's being insulted. She feels insulted by Chris Rock's jokes. And by the way, she revealed in her book that when she was going through her separation, Chris Rock tried to go on a date with her. That's what she said. She said Chris Rock tried to hit her up for a date or whatever. So now there's some bad blood there. So now Chris Rock is making these jokes and Will sees that Jada's kind of flustered. So Will has to make a big, bold move because now Jada gets too flustered. Jada's going to start throwing passive-aggressive hints, which is what she's doing. All of that stuff where she's putting up videos of Tupac, that's passive-aggressive energy. You dig? That's passive-aggressive energy. So Will can't, you know, he can't have her out here disgruntled, starting to put out the family business. Yeah? So is Jada the bad guy? Or is it a disgruntled woman who's tired of putting on a front in an arranged relationship where, you know, listen, I'm just connecting dots here. I'm not co-signing anybody. Not saying good, bad, right, wrong. I'm just trying to connect dots where it makes sense. And I've been telling people now, her coming out with this book and saying that they've been separated for damn near a decade, it's kind of making sense if you are in an arranged situation. Yeah? So she's still the bad guy. I don't even want to put her in the bad guy category. It's just like you're in an arranged situation and damn, you're like, you know, people get flustered in arranged situations. Yeah. Yeah, you're a kept woman, but damn, you want to go out here with your side niggas and your side broads every now and then. You want to go ahead and live that life. Yeah. You want to go out here and live your truth. You know? Because she's probably in the back of her mind like Will is behind the scenes living his truth. How come I can't live my truth? Yeah? Man. So more power to them. I'm just trying to connect dots. More power to them. I hope they figure it out. Somebody said she just needs to be quiet and get her money. I would say, look, forget the brand. Listen, I would say, listen, the brand is already tainted. They might be slowly trying to put it out there to let the brand kind of die out. This might be, again, an arranged way for them to say, hey, let's slowly put the information out so that the brand can fizzle out. The brand is tainted right now. The Will and Jada brand is damn near toxic right now. So, again, this might be a way for them to say, okay, look, let's go ahead and slowly kill the brand and do it in a respectful way. You understand? Because they're going to get divorced. A divorce is imminent right now. With the entanglement thing and the slapping and all of that stuff, they got to fizzle the brand out. The brand is dead. All right. They got to fizzle this thing out. But when they fizzle it out, they have to have an amicable relationship so that Jada can get her brand popping. Will can keep his brand intact. All right. Will has to get his brand and keep that intact. So the divorce is imminent. That's an imminent thing. And the whole thing with August, it's that tainted the brand. That killed the brand. Yeah. So hopefully they can figure it out. But I'm going to play the devil's advocate. I don't want to say that Jada is the bad guy. Neither one of them is the bad guy. It's a situation that August Alsina is the bad guy because he became a chatty patty. August Alsina is the bad guy. He put out Bedroom Business, which he shouldn't have put out. That wasn't cool for him to do. That wasn't cool. Because, you know, people kind of knew behind the scenes what Will and Jada's get down was. Now everybody is, it's all out there. The brand is funky. So now you got to be careful with who you bring into the circle. They brought a chatty patty into the circle. All right. No, they said, did Will Affairs kill the brand? Because no, anybody who Will allegedly got down with, they're keeping their mouths shut. And I don't know who Will got down with allegedly. I don't know. I don't know if or who. I don't know. I don't know if or who. I don't know. I'm not saying he did. But if he did, they're keeping their damn mouth shut. August didn't. August was a chatty patty. All right. August got some of that seasoned Baltimore cooch, that petite seasoned Baltimore cooch. And you know some of them little skinny petite women, they know how to throw it. Them little skinny petite women like that, they have little moves that they can do. Some of them got little moves they can do that's weird and freaky and it feels good. She has some weird freaky moves that felt very good. Don't sleep on them little skinny petite women. They know how to do things. They know how to throw it a certain way. Some of the best sex comes from weird positions and weird things these women do. Yeah? And, you know, Jada comes from the struggle, comes from Baltimore. Mama's was on the narcotics, so no telling what she learned out there in Baltimore. Y'all know how it is. Some of the best sex you've gotten was struggle sex. Come think about it. Let's think about it. Women, think about it. Some of the best sex you done had, women, some of you done had the best dick down ever on a twin bed. You went to a nigga's house and he has a twin bed and he dick you down. That was the best piping you've ever had on a twin bed, ladies. Think about it. Fellas, think about it. Some of the best coochie you done had was on an air mattress. You done been to a hood rat's house or a hood chick's house and she has an air mattress and y'all got down on that air mattress and that thing was fire. All right? That air mattress ass hit different. A little struggle brings the flavor out a little bit. A little struggle sex, you know, it hits different. Yeah? Man, you haven't had good loving until you bang somebody with the smell of fried chicken and hot comb stench in the background. Ladies, you know how it is. You've had some of the best piping down in a studio apartment when the pillowcase smells like weed. Oh, think about it, ladies. You know that hit different. Oh, you know it hits different, ladies. But more power to Will and Jada, man. I like them both. I like them both. I like them both. I hope they figure it out. But a divorce is imminent. They're setting it up for the divorce now because the divorce is going to be huge news. They just couldn't come right out with the divorce. Because yeah, if they do a divorce right out, all of the crazy rumors are going to start. Then all of a sudden, they're going to start looking at all the dudes, say, hey, Does Will have a dude or something? They're going to start asking questions. So they have to do it like this. It has to be a slow rollout. But the divorce is imminent, all right? They're probably divorced. They'll probably announce a divorce by next year. And then they'll reference this interview. Yes, they've been separated for 10 years, and this was a long time coming. And last year, Jada was on the Today Show talking about how they were separated. So yeah, so when a divorce comes, a lot of people are not asking questions now, all right? They gotta do it a certain way. They gotta spin it, all right? They gotta spin that divorce. It's coming, but more power to them. Again, I like Will and Jada. You know, more power to them. I hate to see any black family go through relationship issues, but you know, that's life and life happens. You dig? That's life, and life happens. But much respect to them. Boy, we got a lot of people in here. Listen, have you guys contributed to the new film, Microphone Check, the new documentary film that we got coming out that's making people lose their minds? You know, the Microphone Check, and I talked about this before, and let me show the trailer. For those who haven't seen the trailer, let me play the trailer for Microphone Check. Hold on, check this out. Boom. There it is. Phenomenal trailer. And you guys can support that at the Kickstarter link right there in the chat section and the comments section. We have a Kickstarter page for it. And family, this trailer has rocked a lot of feelings out here. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes because of this trailer. And I talked about this the other day. A photographer named Joe Conzo hopped in the comment section when we put the initial trailer, because this is the edited version. We took his photos out. He hopped in talking about, you done jack my photos. I don't like this narrative. And I'm like, what narrative? So he's been having a hissy fit. We took his pictures out, so he can't say nothing. But Rock the Bells, they got Rock the Bells on Sirius Satellite FM. And he's connected with them somehow, and they put a great article about the film on Rock the Bells. Joe Conzo, people have been getting at him publicly because he was talking slick about the movie trailer. He publicly put himself out there, and then people publicly got in his ass. So then he started trying to blame me for people getting at him publicly. People started clowning him. And they're clowning him, Fat Joe, all of these Latinos, that's what they're calling them. They're calling them Latinos, the Fat Joes and the Crazy Legs and Cologne. I know you're watching Cologne. And Joe, all of these people going around lying, Joe Clownzo. So you're putting yourself out there trying to criticize us, Foundational Black Americans, for telling the truth about our history and our culture. And then you go publicly and start talking crazy, and then there's a big backlash, and then you get mad and then try to blame me for the backlash. So he's up here, people are clowning his ass because he's been running around. Joe Conzo tries to act like he's a pioneer of hip hop because he took photography. All right, this is why I'm saying they set the bar so incredibly low. So people are clowning him. He's arguing back and forth with people. Somebody said something about, some random person said, they tweeted him, yeah, putting the finishing touches on your wife or some shit. They were roasting each other, whatever. So he started talking about that comment was somebody threatening to rape his wife. So he hopped in my DMs talking about, Tariq, you got people out here threatening to rape my wife. What the hell are you talking about? He contacted Rock the Bells, had them take the article down because he's talking about, I sent people to threaten him and they're threatening his wife. And I put up a tweet about that. No, nobody's doing anything to this guy. And this is, he didn't turn into a Karen. All right. All right. He's turning it. These people turn into Karens. You see? And I could show some of the DMs. Yeah, nobody did that. Nobody's threatening this guy. Nobody's talking about raping his damn wife. And I let him know, man, you pull that type of shit, you contact any of these media outlets lying like that, that's going to be a problem, dude, legally. That type of bullshit, you're not going to sit up here and contact media outlets making up some bullshit like that. What the hell is wrong with you? This film got these people losing their damn minds. These people are desperate. And let me tell you something. I talked to my boy Chase. He was in American Maroon, our brother Chase. He put up a video a while back where he was talking about how the Foundation of Black Americans created hip hop and break dancing, and he used some old photographs from the, I think, the 70s or 80s by another Puerto Rican photographer, Ricky something. I can't think of the guy's name. It was another Puerto Rican photographer who took some pictures back in the 80s. And because my brother Chase was talking about how we, Foundation Black Americans, we created all of this stuff, that we're the origin of this stuff, they sent him a cease and desist letter to take the video down because he used this Puerto Rican photographer's pictures. So a lot of these Puerto Rican photographers, these little vultures who were around in the 80s, when we start telling the truth about what went down, they're up here trying to get people's pages hit. They're behind the scenes doing all of this stuff, trying to gatekeep their photographs. You understand? So it's a lot of that little stuff going on behind the scenes. These people are desperate. And again, we don't need Joe Conzo. We're not even using Joe Conzo's photographs in the movie because Joe Conzo really started taking movies late 70s in the 80s. Most of the stuff we're covering is from the 70s and up, the 60s, stuff like that. And by the way, we need some family for the family. Because we're trying to get this done fast, we already got some of our team on it. We need some people who are thorough with research, with archival research from the 60s, early 70s. We do need assistance with that so that we can speed the process up, because us doing this film, every image we get, we have to tweak it and bump up the resolution. So it's a tedious process. That's why when you see the trailer, everything looks all crisp and sharp, because every image we get, we bump it up, clean it up. Every image is looking real thorough. So we do need some more brothers and sisters who are good with research to help us get some of this archival footage, to help us kind of locate and get some of these archive newspaper clippings and footage and magazine articles and archival videos. So if you are good at doing that, and we need people who are good at doing it, please hit me up, because we do need people to help out with that, so that will speed up everything, so it's just not such a tedious process. If we got more hands on deck, that will kind of help us speed it up. All right. Info, my email is info@Tariq.LA. info@Tariq.LA. All right. That will help us speed the process up, so that we can have the movie out much sooner, because that's why it takes so long. I'm gathering up all the archival footage. That's what takes so long. So we want to get as many hands on deck as possible with that. So that will help us out tremendously. So if you are good at that, info@Tariq.LA. But family, there's a reason why they keep trying to actively and aggressively remove us from our culture. They're trying to remove Foundation of Black Americans out of the culture we created, which is hip hop. They keep trying to crowbar Puerto Ricans in this thing real heavy. One of the reasons why is that, truth be told, the Latinos have not really been as active in hip hop as they try to make you to believe. The corporate structure now, they keep platforming Fat Joe. It's the white corporate structure that's making Fat Joe relevant. They keep interjecting him into the BET Awards. Anytime there's a hip-hop situation, the white corporate structure is putting Fat Joe into there. The white corporate structure is platforming Cardi B. You understand? They're making them a thing. That Bad Bunny, they're, you know, associating that with hip hop. The white corporate structure is pushing them heavy. Okay? There's a reason why they're aggressively now trying to make Puerto Ricans really the creators of hip hop. That's what they're going for. Because the Olympics is coming up next year in Paris. They're going to have breakdancing in the Paris Olympics. So there's this desperate attempt to make Puerto Ricans the creators of b-boying and breakdancing, which they are not. Because what's happening is, in the Olympics, Puerto Ricans are going to be irrelevant. Because many of the breakdancers that they have that's going to be in the Olympics are not Puerto Ricans, are not Latino. It's actually Asians. Puerto Ricans are not active in breakdancing like that no more. This is why whenever they talk about breakdancing, they like to go get Crazy Legs and parade him around. They make Crazy Legs the face of breakdancing. They always parade Crazy Legs around. But Puerto Ricans are not active in breakdancing like that no more. They're just not. It's really Asians. Asians are in some of those international competitions. Asians are really the main ones in those competitions now. So now they gotta, how can they crowbar the Latinos in it? By just saying that they created blacks and Latinos, blacks and Latinos. Just keep saying it over and over again, blacks and Latinos. That's why they're so damn upset with this movie, because this movie is gonna be big. This movie is gonna be international. And this movie has authenticity because we have all the pioneers in it. We have all the pioneers in this movie. So this movie is factual. And they're all telling the truth. The Latinos were not there in the beginning. The people that they should be getting in the as judges for those competitions that they're going to have, they need to get Sasa. They need to get Trixie. They need to get the legendary twins. They need to get our good brother Charlie Rock. These are the people that we need to make sure are papered up when it comes to teaching hip-hop and b-boy history. They completely overlook those brothers. They try to overlook them. You understand? Trixie, Sasa, the twins, Charlie Rock. We need to make sure that those brothers get papered up by the corporate structure. If they're going to start having all of this corporate money popping off, the foundation of Black American creators of that, they need to get that. They're sitting around here endorsing Crazy Legs and all of these other people. Yes, I know Microphone Tech is going to be huge in Japan and overseas. I'm taking this movie overseas. When it comes out, we're hitting up the international market with this big time. You dig? We're hitting it up big time. It's a phenomenal thing, family. This is why y'all got to get in on this history, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all got to get in on this history. And yeah, you know, we got Derek Cologne out here and these people. And the reason why they keep trying to go with the Caribbean thing, they try to get us to co-sign the Caribbean thing because they understand when you co-sign the Caribbean thing, you can Trojan horse in the Puerto Ricans with the Caribbean narrative. That's why even in the documentary, that's why they're so butthurt. Listen, when we had the trailer, we didn't even go in on the Latinos yet. On the Latino, the fake lion origin of the Latino, we didn't even go in on that yet. That's in the movie. But in the trailer, we talk about the whole Caribbean narrative being false. All right, that whole narrative being false, and a lot of the Latinos got upset about that because they've been riding that Caribbean wave. They've been using the Caribbean narrative to Trojan horse themselves in. And see, they're Spanish when they want to be, they're Taino when they want to be, they're Afro, they got African origin when they want to have it, just like the Cortez lady. What's her name? Ocasio Cortez, whatever her name. She likes talking about her African lineage, but I'm not black. So they like to play ethnic three-card Monte. When you're in a room full of blacks, well, I'm black, like Fat Joe. Now, I'm a nigga, I'm black. You're around white folks, well, I'm white with green eyes, I'm white. You're around some Spanish people. I'm Spanish. I'm Spanish. You play the three-card Monty game when it's convenient. AOC, remember her? She plays the three-card Monty game. She's white, then she's Latina, then she get in the black church and start trying to sound like Martin Luther King. She tries to get a little swag in her voice. Ain't nothing wrong with being a janitor. Ain't nothing wrong. We're working a minimum wage. Ain't nothing wrong. Remember when she did that cringeworthy ass stuff? So they like to play this three-card Monty thing. So they're African when they want to be, Spanish when they want to be, indigenous when they want to be, Caribbean when they want to be. So they play this little game like Derek Cologne. Let me play Derek Cologne's clip. Hold on. They playing the three-card Monty. This is Cologne. Listen to this. Hold on.
B-boy, we're saying it is a combination of blacks and Puerto Ricans together.
No, that's not. That's not true. There is no combination. B-boying, breaking, as we know it, came from foundational black Americans.
But make no mistake about it, before that is the rock dance.
Okay, this is his narrative. I've been telling y'all, they've been trying to push this kind of horse crap that we got breakdancing from the Latinos who was doing something called the rockin' dance.
And the rock dance comes from the Latino community, mostly Puerto Rican.
Horse crap. We didn't get nothing from no damn Latinos, especially no rock dance.
That comes from us.
Family. Hold on, where we at? Family. Family, family, family. Foundational black Americans didn't get no damn rockin' dance from nobody, which he's trying to say up rockin', which morphed into breakin'. No, we didn't. Family, we've been doing floor work. We've been doing different versions of up rock on video. We've been doing this stuff forever. We didn't have to get no moves from no damn Latinos in the late 60s. This is horse crap. This is I'm white and I say so. We've been doing floor work. We've been doing up rocking. What the hell is a rock dance? It's some I'm white and I say so nonsense. And he thinks if he keeps repeating the lie that the lie is going to come true. Hold on. We didn't get no damn rock dance. We had Soul Train. We had all types of dances going on. We didn't need no dances from them. Hold on. Hold on. Let me play the rest. Hold on.
And so this whole notion that, you know, everything in hip hop begins with the African American.
Which it did. It did. Everything. Every single element came from us. Everything.
Is a lie.
You're lying. That's I'm white and I say so.
That is not the truth. It is a combination of Caribbeans, African Americans, and Puerto Ricans, and Puerto Ricans are Caribbean anyway.
Oh!
Americans and Puerto Ricans, and Puerto Ricans are Caribbean anyway.
Oh!
Americans and Puerto Ricans, and Puerto Ricans are Caribbean anyway. Americans and Puerto Ricans, and Puerto Ricans are Caribbean anyway.
That's why they love pushing that Caribbean narrative so much. Because they can Trojan horse themselves into the Caribbean narrative. We did not get any moves from Puerto Ricans. Puerto Ricans were not there in the beginning. They came way later and emulated what we were doing. We didn't get any dances from any Puerto Ricans or Latinos because we didn't have to. Foundational Black Americans, we have created dances since the beginning of this country. And all of our dances, damn near, many of them go international. We created the first international dance crazes. We created rhyming over beats. We were already doing that. We created floor work, hitting the floor dancing, documented. We created the block party, the modern block party. They said some of the first block parties came from early 1900s when they were having parties to send off certain troops, but the modern block party, just to get down and kick it in the hood, that came from foundational black Americans after the Great Migration, moving to the northern cities, bringing the music out and people on the neighborhood in the block, getting it popping, which was an outcome from the family reunion mindset, because we created the modern family reunion. Foundational black Americans created the modern block party. Because we would help each other out in the neighborhoods and we would have rent parties. That was something that we would do. We would look out for each other as foundational black Americans. If somebody was struggling, That came from the Southern culture that went up to the North. If somebody was struggling, we fed them. We had a little party to raise money to pay their rent. We'd have block parties and rent parties, have them indoors, outdoors, to help each other in the communities. That's part of our culture. If you lived in the South, we always had that mindset. If somebody was struggling, everybody pulled together in the neighborhood to help them out. My grandmother, I used to live in Leeds, Alabama, 70s and 80s. We had that spirit then. If somebody lost their job or somebody got sick, I was there. We were the first Ubers. Foundation of Black American Children, we were the first Uber Eats for our parents and grandparents. My grandmother would give me a pie, go take that down to Sister Johnson's house. We'd be running up and down the street with pies and cakes. Y'all did it too. If somebody in the neighborhood was going through something, take these pot of greens over there to Miss Jenkins. So we run over there to Miss Jenkins' house with a pot of fucking greens. We've always looked out for people in the community. That's part of Foundation of Black Americans culture. We looked out for each other. We would have little get-togethers, and we would feed each other. We would have parties for each other. We would have rent parties for each other. We would get up a little collection for each other. That's our culture. We migrated to the North and did the same thing. That's where the block party culture came from. Yeah? That's where our block party, we created block party culture. We were already doing block parties up there in New York and having the music out. All right, we created all of that, and rhyming over beats and dancing. And let me tell you something, the real date for the creation of hip hop, the real date is 1967. That's the real date of hip hop, the creation of hip hop, if we want to go there. Because that's when all of the elements were there. That's when all of the elements were there. Now, the other element, well, turntablism came in the 70s, the turntablism, but most of them, and we had two turntables going into the 60s, but 67, everything was already in place. In 67, funk was on the rise, and we needed funk breaks to create hip hop. The funk was being created, funk, James Brown creating funk. 67, graffiti started to spread in Philadelphia with Cornbread when he got out of the Youth Authority. He started tagging all up in Philly, and then graffiti in Philly was popping in 67. Then it came to New York. Come on, 67. Also, mid-60s, late-60s, you had variety shows where you had black dancers doing floor work that would morph into the modern breakdancing moves. That's who Trixie, Sasa, all of these guys were looking at on television. All right? In the 60s, almost 67. 67, the same year, Pig Meets Record, Here Comes the Judge, was being recorded. You think? The Here Comes the Judge record was being recorded around 67. Hey, that's when the real genesis of hip hop came into play. All of the elements started to formulate. All right. 67 is when the elements were there. Now, when Herc, we give Herc credit for bringing things together at his parties. The elements came together. He didn't create it, but it came together in his parties. All right. All of the elements kind of came together at Herc's parties, and he focused primarily on the youth and the break beats and the funk beats and the guys hitting the floor. Did Curtis Blow say 67 too? Okay. I didn't even know that. I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm saying he recorded Here Comes the Judge in 67, came out in 68. But they were doing those kind of rhymes in 67 and up. But there were rap records of people rhyming over records in the mid-60s. But yeah, Herc curated all of that stuff early 70s. Then it started to be curated. Yeah? It all kind of came together. Now, Herc didn't create hip hop, because people got to stop saying, because Herc knows not to say he created hip hop. He says he's the godfather. And I'll give him that. I'll give him godfather. Godfather doesn't mean create, because James Brown is the godfather of soul. He didn't create it. By definition, a godfather is not the biological father. That's somebody who nurtured and took it somewhere to another space, which they did. James Brown took soul to another space. Kool Herc took hip hop to another space. He got it and took it to another space. Not the creator. Godfather, yeah. But Herc never said he was the creator, because people were focusing on break records. Remember, break records was basically, they were bringing the record back, bringing the beat back. They're just bringing the beat back. You keep bringing the beat back. All right? And Herc just kept bringing the beat back, and he kept bringing it back to a way, and eventually DJs learned how to bring the beat back and make it flow. All right, but other DJs were bringing the beat back. Other DJs were bringing the beat back. Sometimes they would play the whole record back. Sometimes they would play a certain part back. But Herc really specialized on just bringing back the break over and over again. They said it's called the merry-go-round, but Herc wasn't mixing them smoothly. He was just kind of dropping the record back over and over again. Other DJs were doing that. All right? But Herc focused on that primarily, just bringing the beat back over and over again, and then it kind of morphed into you smoothing it out a little bit. Yeah? But 67, that's really the true year of hip-hop. 1967. Now, people like Cologne, they try to bring it to the 75. They try to say the real date was 75. So that's when they can bring in a couple of Latinos. They can find some Latinos who are around. So that's how they can try to crowbar themselves in. No. The elements were coming into order 67. The elements were coming into order in 67 of hip hop. When we look at the history of it. Yeah. And we were having block parties heavy in 67 in New York, Harlem. They were having block parties. Remember, the block party, that was an essential element for the block party. I mean, for hip hop, just going outside with the music so that the kids could enjoy, because kids couldn't go in clubs. Hip hop is youth driven. You dig? So playing the music outside, that's where the youth could enjoy it. You dig? So the movie, Microphone Check, man, pivotal movie. Everybody got to get involved with that, man. We got to really support that movie, man. Go to microphonecheck.com. If you have not hit the Kickstarter page for Microphone Check, hit the link below. Hit that Kickstarter, ladies and gentlemen, so we can reach our goal immediately. Hit that Kickstarter link so that we can reach our goal immediately, because this is history and you guys need to be a part of that history, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Disco King Mario, he was having those parties, the block parties with the big stereo systems early on, early 70s. And we have to keep beating that drum, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, let me get up out of here, man. It's been real. Again, go to microphonecheck.com. Everybody get your Rootwork deodorant at rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com. Anyway, y'all have a great evening. Papiakuta and Lola Vuve to the family. Y'all be good.